We consider briefly our reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. I think it was just last week. Might have been 10 days ago, but fairly certain it was within the last week. I haven't checked my calendar. And I suppose lucky, thankfully, for our credit card account, we didn't participate. And it might even go to the end of the month, depending on the site. But whatever it was recently, that day, that holiday Americans celebrate as Prime Day, Amazon Prime Day, where Amazon has that ticker counting down in the corner. And they've got the emails coming out, you know, multiple times during the day. And if you're a Prime member, they tell you which deals are coming up soon and which deals have expired. And then if that's not enough, what percentage of the deals are still available? All creating this false sense of hysteria. That all of a sudden, I didn't know I needed a life straw, but they're like 60% off. I don't know when is the next time I'd be, you know, caught with no water available and no gas station nearby and only me and my life straw, but I guess I need one, right? It's kind of this holiday of sorts that has really built itself up through this website that started as a bookseller. Did you ever hear the story of how that all started? They started this website, Amazon. And they installed a bell in their office so that when the site finally went live, a bell would ring whenever they sold a book. So they make the site go live and they're sitting there for 15, 20 minutes. They hear the first ding. Sit there a little bit, hear the second ding. Not too much longer, and then third and fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and pretty soon the bell is almost ringing nonstop, and they look at each other and they say to themselves, what do we do now? We're not ready for this. And if you look at our culture, and Amazon is maybe just the best example of it, but it really preys on the idea of discontent. Discontentedness, where you didn't know that you needed a life straw, but all of a sudden they had a 10-pack on sale at 60% off, and you end up spending 100% more than you anticipated on something that you'll never need anyway. And thankfully, we have a fantastic package delivery service that can get it to your house in 2 hours or less if they get the new Rossford place built, or within a day, free shipping, Amazon Prime. Predicated on the idea of discontent. And it would be easy enough to look at the results, look at the near instant results where I can pay with my 5% cashback Amazon Chase credit card and I can have the package at my house the next morning before 9 a.m. and import that, or at least have that assumption about God's church. That sort of contentedness that has to be satisfied almost instantly, that God wants to accomplish his best work and he wants to do it right now, and if God is a little bit slow in acting, then maybe that's where the problem lies. And all of a sudden, the contentedness and the discontent that our capitalist economic system, which I'm a fan of, I'll say that publicly, that our economic system is predicated on, that idea of discontentedness starts to turn toward the God who works more like the growth of a plant in a slow and steady way, or the growth of a child, where, you know, 6 months pass and all of a sudden the little boy is an inch and a half taller than he was, and it's this barely imperceptible growth that happens over time. But our expectation, we understand how business works, we understand how Amazon works, and we understand the investment that we pour into the church that we love. And we hope, and we pray, and we want a result that happens just a little bit faster. And the idea of being content with what God has done and what God has allowed, what God has permitted, and all on God's time frame, the idea of bowing one's head and saying, I know that you are God and I'm not, is something that's foreign to us. In recent years, including the past decade, I suppose, it's not as recent as maybe I had thought, that most clearly came to mind during my vicar year. Vicar year is kind of that internship after you've gone through 6.5 years of schooling. That seventh year of schooling is with a congregation somewhere. And you start the year with high hopes. I remember sitting down with my supervising pastor, and he says, Peter, what do you want to get out of your vicar year this year? What are you really looking forward to? And I said, I want to see, realistically, I forget how I phrased it, but I said, I want to see God's Word in action. I want to see how God's Word can help to change a person's life and change their direction from bound on the road to hell to living a life of service to God, basically. And his short answer, or his brief answer, I would say, was that you'll see that. Maybe you won't see all of it, not at once. And so I thought, okay, I'll put in the time, and we'll see. So here I am in December in Canada, and it happened to be a warm spell, like people are mowing their lawns on December 7th, and I'm going from house to house distributing invitations for Christmas. We've got 10,000 of these invitations to hand out, and put them at people's doorsteps and in their doorways and whatnot. And I get to this next house, and I see the one after this, there's somebody outside, which was a very rare occasion, because everybody's away at work. There's this old buzzard of a guy sitting there smoking a cigarette, having his morning coffee. And I walk up with my smiley face, expecting contentedly I get to see the gospel in action. And I'll put on the best smile and say, I'd like to invite you to church. I'd like to invite you to the meaning of Christmas, whatever it was. And I say, good morning. I hand it to him. I say my little thing, and I keep on moving. And he was somewhat more frosty than I had anticipated. But before I even got to his driveway, I hear a yeah. Could you imagine some of the possible discontent? Discontent where here I am. I've distributed, at that point of the year, probably 15,000 flyers. We had 35,000 more that I would do before we left. 15,000 flyers down, and I finally get an opportunity to talk about Jesus to somebody on the easiest invite day of the year. Come to church for Christmas and hear about the real meaning of Christmas, where God gives us the greatest gift. And then it's almost like that dream could have just fluttered to the grass, like the pieces of that flyer. Have you ever been there? Where your best effort, your heart's desire, Lord, I just want to have a good spiritual conversation with somebody. Where the efforts that you've put forward, or even just the straightforward, I want to do my best as an employee here and have people leave me alone just a little bit. Or maybe just recognize that I'm doing my best and let me work, right? And it's not met. It's not met with the sort of reception that we might expect. And it'd be very easy to have that discontent about a situation or a scenario turn to this discontent against our God. Maybe discontent or dissatisfaction with what it is that we believe. Like, why can't God be like Amazon two-day shipping? Bring somebody new to my doorstep here in 2 days after just saying the word, and then, I see Satan fall like lightning, I see the demons submitting to us in their name, and the people showing up in droves, and it all happens just like that, just so quickly. And Paul talks about that. He says, I have learned to be content in any circumstances in which I find myself. I know what it is to live in humble circumstances. I know what it is to have more than enough. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, while being full or hungry, while having plenty or not enough. And what is this secret? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it would be very simple to take that verse 13 and take it out of context and tattoo it on my forehead and say, hey, I can do whatever I want because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But keeping it in context, Paul says that you and I can live the most contented life in the most discontented of circumstances, whatever they may be, because this Jesus has promised to not leave you alone. In a good way. This Jesus has promised that he will continue to work through you just as he found you as you were, and he made you as he is. He found us as we were, dead, blind, enemies of God. And he made us as he is. He declared us to be children of God, sons and daughters of the King. And he continues. This is the last part. This is the good part that we're talking about here. He continues to work through us to accomplish his will. That this Jesus, who strengthens each of us, wants to continue to work through you and me. And so the time frame doesn't matter, because the power we carry in our hearts and in our lips is the power of the Son of God. The circumstances outside of us, the bad things that happen to us, the timeline that we wish were different, whether longer or shorter, in Christ, all of that is set aside. And Jesus says, dear friend, don't worry. You can be content, because it's not up to you to make everything happen. The only task that we have is to be faithful with that word, to draw our comfort from it, and to pray to our Lord and ask, Lord, give me a healthy discontent. A healthy discontent that doesn't say, I'm upset with my circumstances, I'm upset with you, I'm upset with our church, and whatever that may involve. A healthy discontent that says, give me a heart for others. That is not content to see 42, 47, however many kids that we have at VBS. But a healthy discontent that says, the Lord's placed us here at the edge of a city of 500,000. And he's presented tremendous opportunities for us here. A healthy discontent that says, I know my Word of God. I know what my Bible says and my catechism says. But I want to be discontented enough, one might say, to dig into it more. And to bring every question back to my Lord, and to bring the toughest questions that I can think of, to say, Lord, are you going to keep your promise here? Or are you going to leave me hanging like Elijah may be thinking as he's walking out of the palace and scanning the skies and wondering, what now? Are you going to leave me hanging? And time and again, God proves that he is faithful, because he's made you his own. And he's proved that you can be content in that. Because the Jesus who gives contentment is the Jesus who was not content with letting you go on the path to hell, but only content in bringing you to himself. And you realize, you know, the life of Jesus, he was crucified, you know, around age 32, 34-ish, somewhere in there. That wasn't two-day shipping from God, but it was a lot better. A lot better than a life straw. Something like that. Please rise for prayer. Dear Lord, we ask you to give us contentment in our vocations and in our lives, with the knowledge that your time and your circumstances that you provide are certainly best for us. At the same time, we ask that you give us a healthy discontent that seeks to bring your word to more, that recognizes that you have a mission to bring many more people to the knowledge of your truth and your life. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.